Lord, we are gathered before you today knowing how much we need a Savior and a Lord to intervene in our world. We know it's a troubled place. We just thank you, Lord, that the wildfires are contained in California today. We bless you and thank you for bringing rain. We pray you would help those who are doing relief efforts there. We pray for all those who have no place to go that are at our border, and pray in the name of Jesus your mercy and grace on all those people. And give us wisdom about what our part is in your plan in this world. Lord, I pray for the loss of life, another person's life taken, and this time by mistake. Lord, have mercy on us. Please help us as a nation to value every human life. Forgive us our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, I think today all around the world, people are raising up the name of Jesus and giving you the praise and glory and honor you're due. I thank you that in our own city, many are gathered together today to praise the name of Jesus. We pray today for Apostle Reggie Holiday at Bethany Fellowship. Ask you to bless his church, bless the Word of God, bless their ministries, that we might together do kingdom work for Christ's sake. Pray also for Bishop Adrian Starks at World Victory and ask you to bless their fellowship and ask you to make many disciples who would impact our city and world for Christ. We pray today, Lord, thanking you we have one teacher. His name is Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you speak a living word to prepared hearts, that every one of us would be changed. Lord, thank you for your word. May the words of my mouth, meditations of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're departing from our study on the book of Acts for just this Sunday. And I'm glad we got the kids in here because I want to ask you a question. How was your Thanksgiving? Did you have a good Thanksgiving? You did, okay. That's what I want to hear, voices. I'm glad you did. And you know, we had a big Thanksgiving at our house. The person who introduced me to Jesus said, Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. I was surprised when he said that. I said, why is Thanksgiving your favorite holiday? Oh, don't you like Christmas? Don't you like Easter? Why Thanksgiving? He said, what I like about Thanksgiving is it's simple. It's about one thing, giving thanks. It's bringing loved ones and family together, sharing a meal together, and being thankful. I like the simplicity of it. Did you all have that kind of a day yesterday? I mean Thursday. It was Thursday, sorry. I'm still in the Thanksgiving spirit. You know, the reason I say that is holidays can be stressful. And as much as you plan and want things to go great, sometimes people have trouble with it. I don't know if you know, but I have a grandson. Just one. And he came over for Thanksgiving. He brought his parents, brought his other set of grandparents, and we all had Thanksgiving together. And I mean, when it was time to have our Thanksgiving lunch, it was his nap time. This is a problem just to start with. But holidays throw you off your schedule. And so when he's sitting down, he's already in trouble. Alcoholics Anonymous uses an acronym. That's a word that every letter stands for another word. HALT. To warn you when you're set up to make a wrong step in the wrong direction. And HALT stands for hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. When my precious grandson pulled up to the Thanksgiving dinner, he was 2 out of 4 already. He was already hungry and tired. Then he worked his way into the third one. He got angry. He got angry because in addition to turkey, green bean casserole, sweet potato casserole, 7-layer salad, rolls, there was holiday bread. You know what that is? It's like that bread that's sort of like cake. It's got apples and cinnamon in it. And he grabbed a big piece of that and tightly held it in his fist. Holiday bread is not made for fist grabbing. It's just not. And then he started waving it around while he was trying to eat it. Came apart. This was a major problem. He began having a meltdown because the bread broke. I mean, threw it down in front of him and just started getting loud. I mean, wah, wah, wah. No, 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 no. Just getting all worked up about it. His parents jumped into action, seeing a Thanksgiving dinner just going over the cliff. They jump into action. They gave him another piece of holiday bread, which he immediately squeezed, waved around, and it came apart and crumbled. And then he had what we only can term as a meltdown. I mean, he came apart. Finally, his dad, with wisdom beyond his years, said, "Hide the holiday bread. Hide it, he'll forget about it." And he did. It's funny, sitting at a table with a plate full of great food, surrounded by people that love you like no other, in the presence of Almighty God, bread crumbling took over, and he had a meltdown. Did any of you have a meltdown on Thanksgiving? Go ahead. Adults have meltdowns too. I've had a number of them. I want today to tell you about 10 guys who had a meltdown in the Bible. In Luke chapter 17, right in the middle of teaching his disciples how to be disciples, that we are to forgive one another, that the way we live is supposed to be an encouragement to other people to seek God and to live for God. People are to look at our life and say, there must be a God. There's no way a person could be like that if they didn't know the living God. Jesus tells them all that. And then it says, on his way to Jerusalem, Luke 17, verse 11, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus is traveling on the border of Judea and Samaria. That doesn't mean much to you, but it's the northern part of Israel. And the reason it's important is the Jews felt superior to the Samaritans. You know, I don't know why, but always in this world, there are people that feel like for some reason they're better than other people. And God will not stand for that. Because he said, I've created all of you in my image. And it doesn't matter what group you're from. To me, you are all precious in my sight and deserve dignity and respect and all that. But I have to say, the Jews and the Samaritans hated each other. The Jews didn't like the Samaritans because they married outside of their group. And so they felt like they had betrayed the true Israel. And then some of them took on different religious practices. And that upset him. So Jesus walks along there, and he's coming into a village, and the Bible says when he comes into the village, 10 men who have leprosy start calling out to him. Now, leprosy is a terrible disease. Leprosy is a disease that attacks the nervous system. We don't have it in the United States, but it's in other places in our country. I mean, in our world. It's just not in the United States because they've cured it here. And we have a treatment for it. But some places don't have that. It's a disease that back in Jesus' day was really terrible. And I like the way the Jesus Storybook Bible describes it in a story in the Old Testament. It says, it's a nasty thing that stops you from feeling anything. Bits of you fall off without you noticing, like bashed fingers and squished toes. It might sound funny, but it's not. There is no cure. It never went away, and in the end, it killed you. You know, it was such a dreaded disease that when people got leprosy, they were commanded by law to yell unclean whenever any other people got near them. If you had leprosy, you had to leave your family. And you couldn't come into the town. And so somehow these 10 lepers had gotten together. And they were hopeless. And they were desperate. And they called out to Jesus. Jesus, Master, have pity on us. What does that tell you about those 10 men? I'll tell you one thing it tells you. They believed Jesus could do something about their situation. The Bible says they obeyed the law and kept their distance, but they knew that they were yelling out to somebody who was Lord of heaven and earth, who could do something about their dreaded disease. They had faith. They believed in who he was. Jesus answered them, and he said this, "Go, show yourself to the priest." Now, I bet if you had leprosy and you heard that answer, you might think, that's not really what I was looking for. I was looking for zippity-doo-dah, you're well. But that's the same thing. They knew that for them to be brought back into the relationship of their family and their friends, the priest had to declare them healed. So Jesus was saying, I've healed you, go show yourself to the priest. You would never go to a priest if you weren't healed from leprosy. And so they turn and they go. And the Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed. That means they were healed. Remember, the lepers would call out, unclean, unclean. Jesus cleansed them. He healed them. And they start going to see the priest just like Jesus told them to. You know, that's a picture of the gospel. The gospel says all of us have a terrible disease. You might think the worst disease you could ever have would be leprosy or cancer or AIDS or something like that. The Bible says the worst disease you can have is a disease of sin. It's separation from God. That will not only affect every relationship you have and your entire life, but it separates you from God forever. Jesus came to build the bridge between us and God. He died on a cross to pay for our sins so we could have a relationship with God. This is the greatest healing a human being can have, is to enter into a healing relationship by faith with Jesus, by trusting in Jesus, by saying, Jesus, I need your help in my life. People call this incident that I'm describing to you a living parable. A lot of times Jesus would tell stories that he would make up to illustrate some great spiritual truth. But in this case, it was something that really happened. These 10 people did come. And he did heal them. And they believed and headed to the priest. Except one guy. It's shocking, really. One guy left the other 9. And the Bible says he came back to Jesus. And listen to this. When he saw he was healed, he came back praising God in a loud voice. You know, some people believe that you need to praise God in a quiet voice. Some people believe that the only things that pertain to God is be still and know that I'm God. But there are lots of places in the Bible that say you can get loud when it comes to praising Him. You can make some noise when it comes to praising Him. And I'm going to tell you, this guy was not self-conscious. He was not concerned about what anybody else thought of him. He was coming back saying, you healed me. I had the worst disease in the world. I had no hope. You healed me. I'm praising your name. I know only God can do that. Amen. The Bible says he praising him. And he threw himself at Jesus' feet. I mean humbled himself. I mean threw himself down at the feet of Jesus. And thanked him. And thanked him. And thanked him. You know another word for being thankful? Another word means the same thing as the word gratitude. Being grateful is being thankful. Having a heart of gratitude. Either my wife or my other friend, we had a discussion about this. We're not sure who gave, but Joanne thinks she gave this to me, and I don't doubt that. Believe me, I don't doubt that. But this sits above my desk at home, gratitude. I wish I could say that I notice it a lot, but you know how things sit there and you just kind of walk by it and you don't pay attention anymore, but this is a great reminder. Are you grateful? Are you a thankful person? Because you know what I tell from this story? Jesus notices two things. He notices faith, and he notices gratitude. You know what he says? Wait a minute. Weren't 10 people healed of leprosy today? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this one? Except this foreigner? This person that the Jews thought was less than. He's the only one who came back to say thank you and to praise God. How many of you kids have ever had your parents say, tell him thank you? You ever heard them, had them say that? How many of y'all have ever had them say, you've had them say that, haven't you? Tell him thank you. Tell him thank you. Say thank you. Tell your grandmother thank you. I know you don't like that, but you tell them thank you. Tell them thank you. You know, it sounds like they want you to do that for your grandmother's sake or for somebody else's sake. But you know why they're telling you to do that? For your sake. You know why God wants you to be thankful? For your sake. Because a person who is thankful can thank their way into the joy of the Lord. Even when you don't feel like it. You start paying attention to what you're thankful for, you become joyful. When you become joyful, the Bible says you become spiritually strong. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Are you saying, well, I don't feel joyful? Well, I can tell you how to get there. Thank your way into it. Begin looking around at that whole table that's before you. And quit crying about the holiday bread and start saying thank you for the turkey and thank you for the green beans and I'm so glad I got sweet potatoes. Thank you for a family that loves me. Thank you for parents that put up with me even when I melt down. Thank you. Thank you. Because thanksgiving leads to joy. Some people are waiting to feel joyful before they get thankful. You're going to wait a long time. Because joy doesn't lead you to thankfulness. Thankfulness leads you to joy. If somebody can take away your thanksgiving, they can take away your joy. If somebody can take away your joy, they can take away your strength. Don't let anybody stop you from being thankful. You know, back in the old days, in the 1600s, there was a leader in the church named Ignatius. Ignatius of Loyola. You know, he had to deal with that name. I'm sure he got made fun of at school. It was tough on him. But Ignatius said, you know, there ought to be a practice that helps you practice gratitude, that'll strengthen you spiritually, that'll help you be strong. And he came up with something called the prayer of examine. That's the Latin word that means examination. To examine something. The prayer of examine goes like this. Either in the morning or at night, you stop and you think about this past day you just lived. You think about that day and you ask the question, where in the last day did I feel really alive? Where in the last day did I really feel joyful? When did I feel connected to my Creator? And you go over those things and you thank God for them. He said, if you spend a little time like that every day, it'll change you. Now, you don't have to take Ignatius' word for that. You can take scientists' word for it. This guy that went to Harvard University, that's where smart people go to school, he cited a study where he got a group of people to take 5 minutes every day at the same time every day for 1 week. 5 minutes! 5 minutes! Every day for 1 week to write down three things you are thankful for. One time a day, three things for a week. It don't have to be big things. Thank you that my sister hugged me. Thank you that I got my favorite mac and cheese lunch from my mom today. Thank you that I got to go outside and play on a beautiful day like today. Just three things. Big, little, it doesn't matter. Three things. This is what they did. For 1 week, every day at the same time, if you're too little to write, ask your parents to write it down. Three things, just for a week. They said 1 month later, the people that had done that for just 1 week were happier and less depressed, less sad. After 3 months, the people who did that for just that 1 week, they found those people were happier in life and less discouraged about things that happened to them. After 6 months, after spending 1 week, they said those people had less anxiety, less worries, were more joyful, and more encouraging in their life. They said it's because of a similar thing to when you get a car. I remember when I got my wife a used Honda Accord. And I took it to the repair place, and the guy said, you know, there are a lot of these cars around. He says, once you get one, you're going to notice them everywhere. It's true. If you have a car, you probably notice your kind of car everywhere because you're looking for it. All of a sudden, you're paying attention to it. If you spent 1 week every day for 5 minutes, you would start noticing things you're thankful for on a regular basis. And thankful people become joyful people. Joyful people become strong people in God. Jesus recognized it and said, your faith has healed you. Faith in what? Faith in Jesus and His ability and gratitude. To be grateful for what He does. You know how you can bless God? The psalmist in Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. He pardons all your sins. He heals all your diseases. He redeemed your life from the pit. You can always start there. You can start there on the worst day of your life. You want to bless God? Forget none of his benefits. Tell him thank you. Enter his courts with thanksgiving, with praise. There are two people in our church that have lived in this kind of way, lives of gratitude. And God has done something special in their life, and I want them to share first, and then I'm going to open the floor and let you share for a minute about it. So, Steve and Paula, if you'd come up. Paula really doesn't like doing this, but because we're related now, we have the same grandson, she will do it.
Have you heard we have a grandson?
Yeah.
Well, Paula wanted me to begin just reading a few passages of Scripture from Psalm 118. And they have been something that God has put on our heart daily. Kind of like what you were talking about, Bill, since June. And we just read it again yesterday morning, and just so grateful again for all the ways that God has blessed and done what he has promised. So I'm just going to read a few little portions of it. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Then there's like five or six verses. Give thanks to the Lord. Israel, give thanks. His loving kindness is everlasting. From my distress I called upon the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is for me. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is among those who help me. Then verse 10 says, all nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me. They surrounded me like bees. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. Then the right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I will not die, but live. And tell of the works of the Lord. I'll just stop there for now. And maybe, Paula, you can tell a little bit of your story.
The first week of June of this year, I was diagnosed with stage 3 ovarian cancer. And the doctor said, you probably have about 3 years to live if you have chemo. And so Steve and I left there, and, you know, it's pretty hard to have your days numbered by a doctor. And that first week, there was a lot that happened. I mean, there was just those first few days. It was just like Steve and I both felt this great discomfort with this doctor. And so I said, well, Lord, what is it? And he said, she's spoken death over you. And he said, I am the only one with the authority to number your days. So the next thing that happened was I began to sense that the Lord was saying, this sickness is not unto death. And so I shared it with Steve, and I said, I really need that confirmed, Lord, if that's from you. And so Steve and I were talking in our morning devotion time, and I shared it with him. And as he was putting his Bible down after reading Psalm 118, his bookmark fell out, and he just picked it up and stuck it back in his Bible. The next morning, I got up and went for a walk, and he got up, and he opened his Bible to where the bookmark was, and it said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. So it's confirmed again by friends, Tripp Sizemore and Melanie Parsons. Again, people were just saying, we just don't feel like the sickness is unto death. And so we just began by faith to trust that that was what God had for us. And the other thing that happened was that the Lord put this song in my spirit that just played nonstop over and over, and it was Reckless Love. And I wake up in the night. His amazing love was just being sung over me morning, noon, and night. And then the other thing that I felt like the Lord was saying was, I want you to cooperate in your healing. He said, and I want you to eat things
that are full of nutrition, to just overload on nutrition, to exercise, to speak life to your body through the things you do. And so those were the things that first week that the Lord began to do. And so Steve and I knew we needed to find a different doctor. And so through some friends, we were able to get into one of the top oncologists in the country. And the other doctor called during this time, and she said, I know you've canceled your surgery with us, but you need to get into a doctor very quickly. She said, your numbers for ovarian cancer are very high. It's 168. It should be 30 or less. Your numbers for colon cancer are very high. It's 30. It should be 2.5 or less. And I said, yes, I'm going to do that. So we went to the other doctor, and they said, you need to get into surgery as soon as possible. And the first date we have open is July the 3rd. And so July the 3rd, yep. So the second round of blood tests came back after that visit, and my numbers had already gone down from 168 to 107, from 30 to more than half. And so I knew the Lord was already working. He was doing something in my body. And so we had a colonoscopy before the surgery, and it came back clear, no cancer. So we had the surgery, and it went well. While I was in the pre-op room, the Lord gave me another song. This was Break Every Chain. And there's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. And they're often said that you're very vulnerable when you're in surgery, because though you're unconscious, your subconscious in your body can still receive the words that are spoken over you. And I felt like the Lord was saying, this is the word that will be sung over you. He rejoices over us with singing. And so the surgery went well, and I came through it fine. And then we had to wait for the pathology report. And it was a long wait. It was a good 2 weeks before we got the word. But
it was a good 2 weeks.
It was a hard 2 weeks, but it was. But the doctor called, and the first thing she said is, I have good news for you. She said, all your pathology report came back negative except for a cancer inside the large tumor, and it's completely contained and non-invasive, and we aren't recommending any further treatment. And so she said, we'll keep an eye on you, but, we really, she said, I don't get to give good news very often, so I'm very glad to be able to give that to you. So we have just been very grateful for what God has done, and He gave me another song on that day, In Christ Alone. And in that, it says, one of the verses says, from life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands your destiny. And so kind of bookend at the beginning and the end, He numbers my days, and He commands my destiny.
Yes.
So.
Just a yes. Praise God. Just a quick word. Tomorrow we'll go back to Duke. Paula's going to have a few more tests. I think that's kind of a normal thing to every 3 months at first to get tested. So just be praying. The Lord has been ministering another verse to us in addition to Psalm 118. It is in Hebrews 10:23, hold fast to the confession of your hope. For the one who has promised, he is faithful. Hold fast to the confession of your hope. Our hope is not in the fact that Paul has been healed. Our hope is in Jesus. Jesus himself. Our anchor is in Jesus. So we're holding fast to him. And the one who has promised, he is faithful. Hallelujah.
So we are saved by grace through faith. We are distinguished by gratitude. Saved by faith, grace through faith, distinguished by gratitude. You notice when they got bad news, they practiced gratitude. They gave thanks to God. The Word of God helped them. Songs about the Lord helped them. But they were praising God in the midst of bad news. I want us to practice gratitude today. So I've asked a couple people to help me. They're going to come up and they're going to hold a microphone. And you just say your name and something that you're thankful for that God has done in your life. We're going to practice gratitude.
I'm going to tell your story. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember some other. Come on, stand up.
Tell us your name.
Al Hodgen. January 22nd, I'm approaching my 81st birthday.
Amen.
81, I said.
Amen.
I got a list of ISU 14 times, which I should not have been here. I will have been cut three or four times. I will have been shot at three times. I wish I had time. I'd let you read them, but we don't have time. I don't guess you don't have time to read them.
You can give them to me later.
Thank you. January 22nd, I'll be, thank the Lord, 81 years.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
You don't have to be shy about saying thank you.
My name is Betty, and I'm very thankful. I had a sister on life support for over a week, and they were thinking of just pulling the plug on her. She's at home now.
Praise the Lord.
And this is all within the past, month. And then this week, my son was in an accident on 29. His brakes went out, and he totaled his car, but he got a mild concussion, and that's it.
Praise God.
And I'm very thankful.
Thank you, Lord.
Hey, Bill. Bill, over here to your left. Here you go.
I'm thankful for my family because they always help me.
Isn't that awesome? It's great to have a family who always helps you. That's a gift from God.
Yeah, my name is Joe Reagan. I have been blessed, Bill, with 8 grandchildren, and they're all very special to me. But my oldest grandson is 12, but he's autistic, and so he still doesn't he still doesn't speak, and he's still in diapers. Mm-hmm. But I guess I can say I'm so grateful because he has taught me more about unconditional love than I could ever teach him.
Amen.
So it's just amazing.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Debbie. Some of you know that ever since I was a little girl, I struggled with several chronic health conditions. And sometimes that were very severe, especially about 5 years ago. And I just would like to thank the Lord that I was brought back, I think, from that and am better today than I've been in 20 years. But I think also I still have some chronic conditions that linger, and God hasn't healed me of those yet. But I've experienced over the years and now as well just that he's healed my heart, and sometimes I think that's a greater healing. And so I want to thank him for that as well.
My name is Savannah, and I'm thankful for my family. Because my mom takes care of me, and me and my mom have been moving to apartments two times, and I'm thankful for my mommy, and I love her so much, and I'm thankful for Thanksgiving, and that I'm celebrating for.
Thank you, Savannah.
My name is Elias.
in a wreck, it, they were still okay.
I'm so glad for that. That's awesome.
I thank for the Lord. My name is Anif Chol. I moved from Africa 18 years ago, come to this church as a refugee, and I have 4 kids, but I came and have 2 kids in the United States. So on the 22nd of September, my son wrecked my car, and he was total lost, but I thankful because he was not hurt, and he never hurt nobody. That was a great fall for God, let him be saved. And I'm really, really thankful for all of them 6. They are with me in the house, and they are grateful. They never give me any trouble, and I'm thankful for God. Thanks.
I am too. Amen. Amen.
My name is Everett, and I'm thankful for my friends because they encourage me.
That's great, Everett.
My name is Georgetta. On Monday, well, I pray when I'm on the highway because I thank the Lord for traveling mercies for me and everybody. Mm-hmm. And I pick my grandson up and take him to school in the morning before I go. And I was praying, and it just kept resonating in my heart to just be thankful. And I made my usual turns and everything. And I saw a car behind me, but then I saw the car not there anymore. And then somebody hit me right after that car moved. And I go up a hill to pick him up. And normally he's up at the hill, he's waving, he's running towards me. So I've been talking with his mom about not letting him be there to make him stay on the porch. When they hit me, I was going towards another car, and I was like, Lord. And he told me to put my foot on the brake. I don't know why I thought the car was supposed to stop. It didn't. And then I kept looking for him because I saw him when I was making my turn, and I kept saying, where's my baby? And I was looking, and he was standing on the other side over there jumping up and down. And I was standing there, and I was crying. And they kept saying, are you hurt? I said, no, I'm not hurt. But I didn't want to tell them. I'm mad at him because he hit my car. I take a medication that keeps you, that's for inflammation. And I felt no pain. And I was trying to make sure, because, you know, when you have an accident, people want you to put the collar on and all that. And I kept saying, I'm not feeling that. And I just want my car fixed. And I felt kind of like I was achy, but I'm standing here today, and I'm still not hurting.
Praise
I ate a little bit. But again, like I said, I just pray for the other people around me because
right.
I see wrecks, and I keep thanking the Lord that there's no one hurt or whatever.
That's
but
right.
My greatest thankfulness was when I looked up and I saw him standing there.
That's right.
So thank you.
Amen. Amen.
My name is Beatrice. I would like to give thanks to the Lord. I'm just coming in and giving this opportunity. I want to give thanks to the Lord because he is good.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I have a lot of experience with the Lord being good. And I just want to thank because before my son, David, if you can stand up, he's over there. Before my son was born, the Lord saved him and the Lord healed him from a very, very, very difficult illness that he was supposed to be paralyzed and deaf and blind. And I came here. And the elders anointed me, and the Lord healed him. Amen. And he left the scars as a pediatrician for me to realize when he was 9 years old that he was healing and not protection. Because I had told him, the Lord protected you. And just about a month ago, he had a situation where he felt that his spine moved. He is the 2017 gymnastics champion of North Carolina. And level 10 is the highest levels in gymnastics. And the Lord has gifted him in the top 10 in the region. And this was his year. This was his year. But about a month ago, he was just stretching. And he felt his spine move. And basically, we know the Lord has his perfect ways for our life. And we know that the Lord has a plan, but he cannot do any sports. And his spine is basically separated. And doctors don't know how is it possible to happen like this, that he doesn't have any pain or he doesn't have any, he can jump up and down right now. He wants to do everything. but I just give thanks to God because we see it as a deliverance, because his first competition is supposed to have been November 16th. And if he would have done this, doing a triple full or, doing dismounting from the vault or dismounting from the high bar, he could have been paralyzed completely. So again, we came to the Lord, begging for his mercy, asking the elders, as James 5:6 states, to anoint, and we are believing the Lord for his healing and his future. So I ask my family, church, for I only want to speak truth and positive. I believe in a great God, as we all do. So I don't want sorries and this kind of thing. I want, it's what the Lord wants. It's what the Lord's will. So I'm just sharing so that we know how powerful our God is. Amen. And I just want to give praise to the Lord because I'm believing for my son's healing and for his future. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
I hope that we cut you off and that you are practicing gratitude in your own heart where you are right now, and it becomes a regular part of your life, because I do believe Jesus takes note of that. Not just that we trust him, but also that we are people of gratitude, that our attitude would be an attitude of gratitude, and that we would be noticing things that we're thankful for all the time, seeing his good hand in our life. One of the things I really appreciate when all this happened with Steve and Paula, Steve said repeatedly, God was good before we got the diagnosis. God was good when we got the diagnosis. God's good after it. And so we bless his name because he's good no matter what we're going through. We may be going through things that aren't good, but he's good. Can you bow with me in prayer? Lord, we thank you that everything we have and everything we are, you've given to us. Thank you for the life you've given to us. Thank you that we're able to be here today, that we could have your name on our lips, that we could sing to you. And Lord, I pray as we take this offering this morning that you would be glorified and blessed, because we know we're only giving back a portion of what you've given to us. We pray, use this for your purposes here and around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.